Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got two things I want to share with you before I preach. Weeks ago, Miss Mary Ann told me she was going to be out real soon. 2 weeks ago, she put 2 weeks on it, and she's coming home tomorrow. And she finally got everybody to agree on her date and approved it. So she had it a long time ago, and they didn't think it was right, but now they do. So she'll be home tomorrow. And I met Mr. Roscoe Frazier yesterday. He's an NHC at McMinnville. Had some pretty serious issues, and he's got to walk. And I think Friday night he said he walked about 100 feet and climbed a couple steps. So he's on his way. And he told me to tell the church hello. He said, tell them I said hello. And I said, I will. Pray for those. There's no telling what we have right now this morning, is there? And it's a serious thing. I guess everything's unexpected, but Lord takes care of it, doesn't he? I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 34. Luke chapter 2 and verse 34. You know, salvation, we get all turned around about it, and we're different depending on who it is that needs it. We pray for people. We watch for people. Sometimes we want more done on Sunday when they're there than what can happen. But I want to share with you this morning how God comes to us in salvation. Some would say this is a Christmas message, and it might be, it could be, it was last Christmas. But there's some different things in it this morning that we need to look at. And you'll see that in verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. The fall and rising. We don't have to ever worry about the Lord coming to somebody for salvation. Everybody from all time forevermore is going to have a visit from the Lord himself about salvation. And the part that happens to us is we realize we're falling. One time more than any, and it's a testimony we all have that are saved. Before anybody rises up, they're going to fall. And when they believe, after he's come to them and receive him, they'll rise up. And that's called salvation. Before anybody can fall and rise again, Jesus has to come to them. And some people, even to this day, it hasn't happened yet. But we can be just as confident as Simeon is that it will happen. In fact, a lot of folks' trouble right now has to do with God leading the Holy Spirit in their life for them to see their falling. It's miserable, isn't it? Very, very, very difficult. And it's not necessarily because of anything that you've done. It's all what God has done. There's going to be an eye-opening experience that we need to be ready for. Especially those that are lost this morning. God will come to you. It's a promise. And when he comes to you, it'll be showing us exactly our fallen condition, how bad we are. But when we believe and receive him, boy, it changes, doesn't it? The falling and rising of many, it happens to everybody. Some folks fall, but they never rise up. But they can't ever say that God didn't come to them, because he does, doesn't he? What I'm saying is we have a choice. We have a responsibility, don't we? My only problem is if I look at different people, talk to folks, it was different times in their lives. I was 11 when the Lord opened up my eyes. I believe my daddy was praying. I know he was. Mama was praying. Church was praying. And that had a big part in it. The Bible teaches us of people that I don't think anybody prayed for the Apostle Paul. They were afraid of him. But there was a day, wasn't there, when God came to him and Paul got settled, didn't he? This morning, what we want to talk about is the fall and rising again of those that are saved. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And when the 8 days were accomplished, that's 21. And behold, in verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, this was a fact for Simeon. The Bible says he was devout, he was just, he believed in God, he sacrificed, he was very smart, a priest in his own right. But God had led him by the Holy Spirit to put on his heart that it would be revealed to him. And there would be a day before he died that he would see the Lord's Christ. He was already waiting and he was already expecting the consolation of Israel, the day that the Messiah would come. There's a lot of people waiting right now, aren't they? Some of them dreading, wondering, seeking some relief or some peace, going through all kinds of things in their life, but they're not expecting and looking like Simeon is. It helps me this morning to understand these scriptures, because as a pastor and somebody that preaches and wants to see people saved, I've got a promise, I've got a guarantee that everybody that I get to talk to, without a doubt, before they die, God will come to them. He'll lead their life in different ways through the Holy Spirit in different times that they can't explain. But I don't have to be too forward. I don't have to be too pushy, because I'm looking and waiting and expecting just like Simeon. It's no shock when people get saved. It's no shock when people turn their hearts around because of the Lord, because God promised it. Jesus came to seek and to save, didn't he? He's going to do that. That's his part. He's going to use the Holy Spirit that's in the world now, isn't he? He's in our hearts if we're saved. And there's no doubt, just like Simeon, that we can expect, can't we, things to happen the way God wants them to happen. He was so sure of this promise that it would happen, that he was expecting. He wasn't disappointed. Sometimes we get disappointed. Sometimes we wonder what's taking so long. Well, Simeon was an older man, getting older and older every day. But he had the satisfaction, the calmness, just to wait. There wouldn't have been nobody able in his life to pull him aside and convince him of anything different. Even though it hadn't happened yet, he had God's assurance and God's promise that before he died, he would see the Christ Lord, Jesus himself. We're like that. I have to remind myself sometimes of some of the people that I work with that have talked to me, and I've prayed for them, that it might be later on when I'm gone, that somebody is able to lead them more and closer. It might be later on that they're somewhere by themselves. I don't know. There's not a bad testimony for the Lord, is there? Oh, how many different places I've heard of when the Lord came down and opened people's eyes and they received him. There's some good testimonies, isn't there? A lot of different places, a lot of different times. But Simeon this morning is our example, to help us to see that we need to do all we can when we can, trusting in the Lord, knowing without a doubt that someday before they die, before you die this morning, God's going to open your eyes for you to either receive him or reject him, to stay fallen forever and ever, or to realize how fallen that we are and let him raise us up. The Bible says that when Simeon was looking, when he was expecting, when he was waiting, the Holy Spirit led him into the temple. This was the day that Jesus was going to come in the offering for Mary's purification after 40 days, according to Leviticus chapter 12. Read that. It'll tell us all about it. That it was time for her to come to the temple and give sacrifice for giving birth. That very day, at that very time, he didn't miss it. Simeon didn't try to figure it out. He didn't set a watchman. He did everything he did every day. And verse 27 says, he came by the Spirit into the temple. The Holy Spirit led him. I hear all kinds of folks all that day. I wasn't trying to go to church. In fact, I didn't want to go, and this happened and that happened. I just ended up in church and just happened to hear the word. And that particular day, the Lord opened my eyes, and I prayed. And before I know it, God saved me. We try too hard sometimes. Try to calculate and set things up, and it hardly ever works. But on the day that God opens people's eyes, on the day that Simeon was given that guarantee and that promise that before you die, you're going to get to see Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, which is going to bring peace and salvation to the Jewish people. You're going to see him. And I promise, if we would look at God's promises like Simeon teaches us, they're this, that promises or gifts, aren't they? In God's time, in God's place. Even though it takes a while, it seems like they're never going to come. Almost like my sister used to tell me with her fist in my face, when you least expect it, expect it. But I'm glad she's not Jesus. But Jesus is like that sometimes, when we least expect it. And that's what happened here. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. You ever thought about picking up salvation and holding it in your arms like a precious baby? Isn't salvation good? I find out it's better for a lot of people that I get to visit. The more sicker they are and the closer they are to home, heaven, they grab a hold of salvation more than they ever have. I've had some folks that just blessed my heart, just like the Sunday school lesson this morning. I can walk out of a place like I did Saturday, and on the way home, it's like, Lord, was that for him or was that for me? Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for what you're going to do. But anyway, Simeon's our example, and he took baby Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. He was ready to go, but he wasn't going to go yet. I know a lot of folks that's ready to go, planning to go, but it's just not time yet. But is there anything left this morning in your life that you feel like God promised you? There is for me. I thought we was good with kids and waiting for them, and now grandkids, and one on the way, maybe this week. Yeah, full moon, rainstorm. I don't know, that could help. They say it does. But we're getting really close. And I've got a lot of promises that I want to claim, if the Lord will let me. But I'd like to see some things happen with my grandkids, don't you? And kids. And when we get them, what do we do with them? We pick them up and we embrace them, don't we? And we bless God and thank him for what he's done through us. I mean, with me and Sandy don't go back too far. It's fixed to be 41 years. I remember back in college when we first met that we never really talked about a whole lot about the future. I think she didn't want to scare me off. I don't know. But we never imagined, and neither have you, what the Lord had for us later on. It's not always been good, and it's not always good. But the good parts that we really need to grab a hold of, have we asked God and thanked him and blessed him? There are good times, isn't there? There are some blessings, isn't there? Well, he did that. And then he said, Lord, okay, I'm ready to go. You kept your side. and I kept my side, which he realized that probably pretty soon his side was still God's side. It's still God's timing for us when we go, isn't it? Then in verse 30, he says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." We have a hard time with this one because we can't see like Simeon did. He was a prophet. He was responding back to God and exactly knowing what Jesus was going to be and what Jesus was going to do. I don't know what my grandkids are going to be able to do. I don't know what God's going to use them for. I know my children now. Josh is old, getting close to 40. And he's done a whole lot in his life already that just is amazing. And my daughter, she's doing good too. I never could have imagined that. I couldn't have, when they were born, hold them up, thank the Lord for anything except right then. But Simeon, in a spiritual way, we need to know, don't we? Not just Jesus has saved me, but here's what he can do, and here's what he's going to do. Simeon prayed to God, and he said that this is the salvation, our salvation. He knew that in Jesus when he was holding him, days old. He knew that. He knew that Jesus was going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles. He was going to bring salvation to those that weren't Jews. He knew without a doubt that this was prepared in front of all his people. And also a glory of thy people Israel. That's what people don't understand today. God's people are the Jewish people, the children of Israel. And through them, we're saved. Both of us together. It's not a separate thing. It's not anybody took anybody's place. Nothing like that at all. God's plan's always been for the Jewish people to have a Savior, a Messiah, and for the Gentiles to have the light from that to be saved. And then he says in verse 33, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." We talked a little bit, but let's go into it a little bit deeper. A fall and rising again, and a sign that's spoken against. Now, before this time, Jesus hadn't come. In our lives, before we're saved, Jesus hasn't come to us. There's a before. There's an until. Nobody until Jesus was born would ever know about falling and rising. Everybody has the sin of Adam. We all do. We all know there's something wrong. In fact, most people probably in church, they know they're lost. But there's a lot of lost people and a lot of people maybe religious, but they haven't had the light that Jesus brings when he comes to us for salvation that we know we've fallen. There has to be a before. Nobody is predestined forever to go to hell or go to heaven because we have a choice. There's a before here, isn't there? He's set right now. He's just now born. Now it's time that Jesus can come, and not only can he show people they've fallen, he can raise them up. But at that time, at the beginning of the birth of Jesus, he's a sign of the Messiah. He's a sign of the salvation of Israel that hadn't been there yet physically. It's prophecy. It's promise. In our lives, we have a promise. We go to church. And when we're lost, we know, yeah, I know that there's lost people. I've had some bad times, but I really don't know. I've talked to a lot of people. I'm not sure. I want to be saved, but I don't know. Until they know, we're going to pray for them as far as I'm going to go, because I've experienced myself and I've seen many people. When they finally came to me, it was all for sure. Preacher, I know I'm lost. That's when it starts. But there's always a before. That's important. Before anybody can get saved, Jesus has to come to them. And Jesus has come as a sign. in the sign. It's not just another baby. It's not just another Jewish baby that needs to come in for the purification of the law like Jesus, like all the babies did. This was different because this baby was a sign. He's the Son of the living God. He's Jesus the Christ. And before there can be anything spoken against, there needs to be a sign. Not just a Jewish baby boy, but the Son of God has come on the scene, born of a virgin named Mary. He was finally there, and now people will know they have fallen and they can be raised up. And now there's a sign that can be spoken against. It can be rejected. They can say, what do you mean that this is the one? What do you mean this is the Jesus that came as Messiah? And as he got older and older, closer to 33 years old, closer to the cross, seeing more miracles when he started his ministry and listening to his teaching, everything that he was set to do, on this day, he was a sign that people would go against, that would speak evil of, that would say, oh no, he's not. Now there's a difference in doubt and rejection. There's a lot of stuff going on right now these last 2 weeks that people need to wake up because it's prophecy. And I don't know what all it is. It's amazing to me though how moral our country's getting, how moral the world's getting. And for some reason there's an American Pope. I don't want to get into all that. But there's something about this time that we're living in. There really, really, really is. Of course, everybody in the Bible thought it was the last times. But that's been preached in the Bible forever, for 2,000 years. But now there's a time set, a person set, and he's a sign that's spoken against. And it's going to happen one day here, isn't it? We've got a guarantee, we've got a promise. Jesus is coming again, isn't he? He is coming again. I don't have to doubt. But I don't need to reject. There's people that doubted Jesus and studied about him and maybe asked him questions. But there's some that reject him. You know the difference? If you doubt, you're not too worried about it and you stay where you're supposed to be. Those that reject are trying to destroy and cancel and get away and stop. Those are the ones that are living in disbelief. When somebody's lost and they're under conviction and they wonder if they're saved, they're being drawn and all these things, they haven't rejected. When somebody rejected, they say, I don't want none, I don't need none, I don't believe it, it ain't true. It's a hard time, isn't it? And Simeon is our example. We need to understand that it's God that saves. He promises. He sent Jesus to die, to be buried, and raised up from the grave again. And he has been, hasn't he? And because of that, he's going to come and save those that are lost, isn't he? And those that are lost and fallen, there's no doubt that he's going to show them what condition they're in. And then he's going to raise them up. The ones that obey. The ones that receive. That was the sermon and the message that Simeon gave Mary and Joseph. But there's one more thing. Look at verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There's a piercing of the soul that was promised to Mary because of what was done to Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, and it said the men were pricked in their hearts, in their souls. And they got something done about it, didn't they? The hardest thing about Mother's Day is trying to find a message about mothers until this Sunday. This is pretty easy. Mary is a good example. We can't understand. We can't just comprehend or grab a hold of what Mary was and what she meant. But because of her love and her obedience to God, and as great as she could have ever thought about her son Jesus, all the miracles he did, all the trouble that she saw up to this point, and wondered, the Bible says marveled, there came a day that he was on the cross, and Mary was there, wasn't she? Turn to John 19. John chapter 19. Mary watched everything that happened on the cross. They saw him. She saw him brought out. They saw him put on the cross. She heard him say things to him. She heard what he said, and he said some things to her. There came a time when he left this world. And it came time for the religious people, because it was a holiday, because it was Passover, it would be a sin to have a body on the cross. So they all needed to be dead and taken down. Remember what it said about the two thieves? They went to one and they went to the other and they broke their legs, didn't they? So they would die. But look at verse 30. John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out thereof blood and water. She was pierced at that time, I believe, don't you? Not in her body like Jesus, but in her soul. She knew who he was. She understood what he was doing. And she knew he was dead already. So everything they did was for them to have a satisfaction. But it also has to do with prophecy. Look at these things in verse 36. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him should not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Verse 37 is very important for Mary and for us. As sad and sorrowful it is of being a mother, even to the extent of Mary that you could imagine and only imagine, as bad as the suffering was deep down to her soul, that a soldier took this opportunity to pierce his side. That is going to go on forever and ever and ever. Because Jesus is going to come back and show the Jewish people, those that pierced him. I don't know the word to use. But at that time, it was probably a good idea, or they thought they was going to get by, or some disrespect, I don't know. But it's going to be turned around on them for eternity, because they're going to look at the one that pierced. There's a lot of things that happen to us because we're Christians. There's a lot of things we might deserve, but there's a lot we don't. There's a lot of scars that we're going to have when we leave this world, aren't we? But the scars that we don't deserve are for other people to see. And there's more scars this morning, I know, in the people that are here this morning. You've got more scars. You didn't deserve them. Can't imagine how it could happen. But God will take care of them, won't he? Because we did it for him. And the scars are there for a reason. A lot of reasons. We pray that you would come up, spiritually speaking, with a good reason from the Lord about the scars that go deep to the soul. As Mary had them. And only mothers know. We don't know. We have no idea. But Mary did. Other ladies do, don't they? Scars. Deep into the soul, was told to Mary early on in Jesus' life in the temple by Simeon. Everything I'm telling you this morning to everybody here, especially those that are lost, if you're here today, everything that God has promised that will happen to people that are lost, there's going to come a day down the road that it's going to happen. Isn't it? Guaranteed. Those that love Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. But those that don't, they will perish. And perish is just not dying physically. It's dying spiritually forever in a place called hell. Can't get relief. Ever, ever, ever. And I can't explain it. I can't understand it. But it's a promise, a guarantee, isn't it? The timing is the Lord's. But the things that you're going through now, the leading of the Holy Spirit to be in places that you didn't think you'd go, or the grace of mercy that God gives us that we don't deserve, is leading everybody and drawing everybody to the Lord to open our eyes and realize before you die, everything that God promised you is going to happen. It is. And the greatest thing that he promised through the example of Simeon is that not only can we fall, but we can rise again. Can't we? And we can rise again before we leave this body, before we die. We can grab a hold. I've seen it in a lot of people weeks and days before they've ever passed away. Rarely. But they do, don't they? This morning, salvation is always taught, it's always preached, and it's still real, isn't it? And you don't know, and I don't know how much time that we have. But before we leave this body, it is going to happen 100%. And God is the one that decides on the day and the time. You might be here and you are saved. Did you know you're saved and physically and emotionally? You can fall, get away from the Lord. Can't we? And how long? How long is it going to be? There is no guarantee that I know of that somebody that's saved, and we'll use the word backslidden because everybody knows what that means. There is no guarantee before we die that we're going to get back with the Lord. It's sad to preach funerals and be around folks. Nobody knows. Somebody guesses. Somebody thinks. They went up. They were baptized. But the last 30, 40 years, nobody would ever know. I had a brother like that. A younger brother. Died very early with a heart attack because of the drugs and alcohol that he deserved. And he drove to my house in Liberty one night. 2 or 3 in the morning, had just been running from the law one more time. And all he wanted to know is, do you think I'm saved? That's 1,100 miles. And we talked, and we went back to the day that in church, and the nights that he kept awake. And I said, Bo, did you really mean it? Was you really drawn? You got saved by the same time I did, in the same church, with the same preacher preaching, pretty close to the same time. He said, I did. I know I believed. I said, did Jesus save you? Well, he did. I said, what if you died the day after you got saved when you was 8? He said, I went to heaven. Is that God or not? I mean, who's to say? But he fell again. To the point where everybody doubts and nobody knows. And I'm fixing in a little while, if my older brother don't get better, I'm going to do his funeral. And my younger brother's son and family's going to be there. And they've never heard about their daddy. What I'm just telling you. But God saves, doesn't he? Yeah. And when he saves, is it eternal? Is it?
Yes.
And everybody that was saved eternally back yonder, and know if they died back then, they go to heaven. They fall away again, can't they? Can't they? And before they leave this world, only God can raise them up again, can he? That's my prayer. I don't know how far, I don't know how long, but just a little better is what we're looking for. In the example of Simeon this morning, we're not shocked when people get saved because we expect it, because God promised. We don't get really out of sorts when somebody comes back because we've been praying. It is exciting and it's a good thing and we thank the Lord. But it's expected. But it's hard to expect a lot of people that have been saved and fallen again. Oh, how good it would be, huh? To see them come to church, to sing, to pray. Once again, huh? There's no promise that I know of, except in Jesus, because He can do it. And based on this example, and based on the life and promise of Jesus, that He's the one that's going to come and seek and to save, it's Him and Him alone, through the Holy Spirit, that's going to open people's eyes. And it's an answered prayer. And if we don't pray, there's no answer. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pray. Prayer. Praying for those that have fallen again, to hear the word, to realize the things that's going on in their life might be the thing that God says, hey, you need mercy, you need grace. This morning we're going to stand and we're going to pray. If you need to come to the altar, it's open to everybody. If you need me to help you, I'll be so glad to help you. If you need to talk after church or during the week, call me. I want to ask you this morning to stand and bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the things that you've allowed our mothers to go through, the things they're going through now. We pray, Lord, that you would take them and hold them and bless their hearts in what they're going through. Lord, there's some heavy, heavy, heavy things right now. Lord, we know they've got to be, or you would change them. We don't know what you're trying to get out of it. We don't know who you're trying to affect. But we've got a promise that if we would pray, you'd hear, you'd answer, and you'd give mercy to those who are in need. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Bless our hearts and our souls and help us to expect your love and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.